Bring your greetings in Christ's precious name this morning. It's a blessing to be gathered in the house of God again today to worship Him together. And in a lot of ways, this morning's message is a continuation of the Sunday school lesson as we think of our lives and we think of the children of Israel and their struggle to find their way and the stark reality that there were two men and the whole group of Israelites that made it to the Promised Land. And the reality that there are people among us, there are people in Mennonite circles, in Mennonite churches, in Mennonite benches. Are they going to make it or are they not? Is those people that don't make it, are they? Is that going to be me? Is it going to be you? Some will be taken and some will be left. Am I the people that are going to be left, or am I the people that are going to be taken? Who am I a part of, and who do I want to be a part of? You can turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Back this past week, the verse my Bible app that sent me was verse 5 of chapter 8. It said, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." And I looked it up and went further. And verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." To be carnally minded is death. I like to think about those thoughts. I'm going to start in verse 1. Because verse 1 of chapter 8 has a very profound thought in it. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Talks about a walk here. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What am I walking after? Verse 2, For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And we have it again. "But they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, ye shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, and we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified with Him." Jumping down to verse 27. "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth," actually verse 26, "likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Backing up here, we have Paul writing this chapter here. And I'd like to read two verses back in chapter 7, in the last two verses of chapter 7. And Paul was explaining the struggle here. He was saying, you know, the things I want to do, I find hard to do, and the things I should be doing are a struggle for me. And he's saying that in verse 24, he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." And I like to think about life in the Spirit. We have a choice to make today of living life in the flesh or in the Spirit. And I think it's in John, it talks about God being a Spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And as we think about that, as we go through the message this morning, but Paul brings out two mindsets here in verses 5 to 8. And that is the mindset, verse 5, it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." In my mind this morning, do I understand the connection of the mind when it comes to my relationship with Jesus Christ? The things I allow my mind to consider, the things I allow my mind, and Paul mentions that in 24 and 25 of chapter 7. He says, "So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." What I allow my mind to dwell on, what I allow my mind to process, what I allow my mind to continue to think about, eventually becomes who I am. It affects me to the point where it becomes who I am. Paul was a man who I believe had the same temptations, the same struggles, the same wrong desires that you and I have this morning. But he crucified that. He trained his mind to think on the things of God. And he's explaining that battle here in these verses, of that battle of wanting to do wrong and yet knowing what you should be doing. And he mentions there in verse 6, you know, the end result of living in the wrong or training our mind in wrong channels. He says, "For to be carnally minded is death." To be carnally minded in death. You know, a carnal mind is an end in itself. There is no long-term pleasure. There is no long-term satisfaction in a carnal mind. That's the reason this world is so hyped on pleasure-seeking, because there's no satisfaction in worldly pleasure. There's no satisfaction in worldly pleasure. There is no long-term satisfaction. There is no long-term peace in what the world has to offer. Verse 8 says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Cannot please God. It doesn't say, you know, might please God, but it says they cannot please God. And how much of the flesh am I allowing to be part of my life? It goes back to Romans 12 that I brought out in business meeting. It says, chapter 12 of Romans, verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." Do I understand this morning that my mind is naturally carnally, my life, myself is naturally carnally minded? I am bent towards doing wrong. And I need to train my mind. I need to renew my mind. And part of that is renewing my mind in God, a constant renewing of the Word of God in my mind. Whether that is memorizing Scripture, whether that is, you know, extra Bible reading so that I can retain more, extra Bible study, witnessing, whatever it is, but it's training my mind to think about the things of God, to concentrate on God and His work and His provision. He brings out that thought twice. In verse 1, I brought that out. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And he says that in the end of verse 4, too. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Those are the ones that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. And then he talks about that in verse 10. He says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Talks about doing something. What is my life doing? Turn over to Galatians chapter 6 or chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16. And the heading over my Bible says, living by the Holy Spirit's power. And it says there in verse 16, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And then he goes on to name the works of the flesh, and also then the fruit of the Spirit, and what should be coming from a life of a believer. But it gives the contrast there of the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, and what needs to be coming from a Spirit-filled life. But he gives that the war that goes on in the life of every believer, of the, you know, the lusting of the flesh and the desires that brings wars against the Spirit of God. So when I entertain thoughts, wrong thoughts in my life, and my thought patterns, I am warring against the Spirit of God in my life. And the more I entertain those thoughts, the more I quiet the Spirit of God in my life. And eventually, the Spirit of God goes quiet. Goes quieter and quieter till we don't hear it. The Christian life isn't something that just happens. The mind isn't something that just naturally goes right. But it's something we need to discipline. We need self-discipline. Temperance. You know, you hear the saying about a God-sized hole in every heart. And you know, as you watch the unsaved around us, there's like a vacancy in their heart. And they might fill it with family. They might fill it with pleasure-seeking. They might fill it with other things, maybe running a business or money, or they might fill it with something, but you know, it's such a temporary fix. And you know, it isn't long till they're after something else to try to fill the same void. They kind of have this part in their life that they just can't quite fill. They just can't quite. You might hear, go past the car that's got music turned up against. They're trying to fill a hole in their heart that's there. Maybe we fill it with looking good, sitting in the bench, and you know, everything looks okay, in place. We make life look good, but inside there's a total vacancy in our heart that isn't filled by God. You know, relaxing your mind is fatal to the spiritual life. It's fatal to your spirit, to your spirit communicating with God's spirit. Because naturally, we are going to go wrong. And I need to control my mind. I need to take charge of my mind, turn my mind over to Christ. A mind that is controlled by the devil is one that is fear, anger, depression, and even suicide. Proverbs 23:7 says this. He says, "For as the man thinketh in his heart, so is he." You know, as I think in my heart, as I allow things into my thought patterns, it affects who I become. It affects who I am as a person. It might not be now. It might not be for a while. But it eventually affects who I really am. You know, eventually what is in my mind will end up in my heart. And what ends up in my heart will come out in action. And we see that again and again. You know, we can't read a person's mind. We don't know what's in a person's heart. But eventually the actions come out. The old saying goes, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And what I allow into my life will eventually affect who I am. In Isaiah chapter 26, you can just turn back with me there. Isaiah 26. Verse 3. Actually, let's start in verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Verse 4 says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That was a promise to Israel. But the thought here is that thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. And, you know, that verse, God hath not given us a temptation that we are unable to bear, but with the temptation, he is always faithful. And you know, God is faithful. And if my mind is stayed on him, if I keep my life focused on him, God will show himself faithful. He will show himself faithful. We grow, you know, in thinking of the children of Israel, and as they knew they were promised the promised land of Canaan. They knew that. And it was like, why don't we get there then? Why don't we have it? It was kind of like the carrot hanging out there. You know, it's out here. You know, for us today, we're promised heaven. And we can get tired of waiting, and we can get frustrated at God for all the struggle we have to face. Or we can turn it over to God and allow him to work and put us in life where he wants us in life and be satisfied with that. And heaven will be worth it. We cannot entertain in our minds this world and the flesh and entertain the Spirit of God. It will never work. It will never work. James says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Get the picture of a man who is very shaky in his life, who is unstable, something that is is very unstable. With the affluence and the availability to technology today, it has made it increasingly almost possible to entertain the Spirit of God and flesh. It has lessened that gap. It has made that gap a lot smaller. It has made the line a lot more unclear. Where that line is, where do I draw the line in my life when it comes to those kind of things? What would Jesus do and say about what I'm doing and allowing in my life? Philippians 2 verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let this mind be in you, the mind of Christ. What would Christ think about what I am doing? What would Christ think about today's world and how I fit in? Am I walking after the flesh, or am I walking after the Spirit? Christ has come so I can be free. Christ has come so I can have peace. Christ has come so that I can enjoy a relationship with Him. Am I enjoying that? Am I allowing the indwelling of the Spirit in my life? Moving down to verse 9 and 10 of our text, Romans 8. It says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." The indwelling of the Spirit. When I allow my mind to be stayed upon God and to be controlled by God and to be led by God, the Spirit can then indwell within my heart. And it becomes my guiding source and guiding presence and becomes my navigation system, my spiritual navigation system. It produces new lifestyles. It produces different. It produces a life that is filled with happiness amidst life's sorrows. It is produced with a life that is filled with God. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Corinthians 5, verse 17 says this, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation." I can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. I can be a new creature. And you know, the more I allow myself, in the same token that the more I allow the flesh to be part of my mindset, the quieter the Spirit of God comes. The more I allow the Spirit of God to be part of my thought life, the more communion and presence of God is in my life. When we fail in life, God doesn't instantly leave us. You know, he failed, so he's not with us anymore. No, he works with us, and he tries to help us in our life and tries to bring us to repentance. He tries. He works by the Holy Spirit in our life. Am I listening to the Holy Spirit direction in my life? You know, as Christ dwells within my heart, and I feel the conscience prick at times in my life, what do I do about that? How long do I entertain that prick before I do something about it? How quickly am I ready to say, I've done wrong, and make a wrong right? Verse 10, it says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And as we think about the body being dead, and the Spirit of God lives within me, and I make full use of the power of God in my life, the body become, the sinful desires of my life become quieted because of the Spirit of God in my life. And don't get me wrong, we still live in a fallen world, and we still face temptations, we still face the struggle. But beyond that, we have Christ in our life to face that, to find victory over that. Turn to John chapter 6. And as the Spirit of God dwells in us, it giveth life. John chapter 6, verse 63, near the end of the chapter. It says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It is the Spirit that quickeneth us, that giveth us life. That it is the flesh that profiteth nothing, that does not fill the void in one's heart. And I like the thought there it gives, and it says, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they are life. And there is power in that. There is victory in that alone, in the Holy Spirit's power within my life. And then flipping back behind our text to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we have another verse back there. Verse 6 says, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit? For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The Spirit giveth life. And it's that thought of the Spirit of God empowering us and giving us life. It says, our text, it says, so then they that are after the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And then but in the end of... first part of verse 6, it says, for to be carnally minded is death. Be carnally, and the thought of death and the thought of life. The Spirit of God brings life. And the flesh of this world brings death. Brings death. What am I willing to do to entertain life? What am I willing to do to entertain Jesus Christ in my life? The Spirit of God in my life. Am I willing? How much of the world am I willing to entertain? How much of the world am I willing to accept into my life? Am I sold out for Christ, or am I willing to entertain portions of the world in my mind? Because really, what is in our mind will become who you are. And never forget that. What is in your mind will become who you are. Because eventually, What you think about will become part of you.